Welcome to the Talk Floor Podcast, where we talk all things flooring. And now, your host, Beth Miller.
Hi, everyone. This is Beth Miller. Welcome to the Talk Floor Podcast. Today, we are talking with Emily Morrow. She is the owner of EF Floors and Design and founder of Emily Morrow Home. Welcome, Emily.
Well, thanks. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
You've got some new things brewing that I think we need to talk about.
Is it Wi-Fi, maybe?
It could be Wi-Fi. So with that said, welcome to our Women in Flooring podcast. We are hoping to do one per month. And so with that in mind, we're going to discuss the Women in the Flooring Industry organization. So to put this in context, Emily began her journey with Shaw as the director of styling and worked there for 13 years. And then from there in 2015, she started Emily Morrow Home, which is a division of EF Floors and Design. So Emily, walk us through your journey to get you from there to here.
Well, you know, I'm sitting here in my office, which is on Abutment Road in Dalton, Georgia. And I look around me and I see all these great examples of women in the floor covering industry. And I don't mean just current day. I've written these articles and I love to tell the story about the founders of the bedspread industries. You know, this Dalton region was started with this craft industry of chenille bedspreads, and it was started by Catherine Evans, Whitener, and Dixie Bandy, and some really brave women that just, they didn't know their legacy was going to be what it is, but here we are today. And we have all these wonderful, professional, brilliant, talented women out around us, and they inspire me. And I hope that we'll be able to accomplish something really good with the combined passions and talents of our new organization that's now just celebrated a one-year anniversary.
So walk us through Wi-Fi from concept to reality.
I have to stop and give Tanya Kern a lot of credit. I don't know how many years she and I were sitting next to each other or across a conference room in our TICE advisory board meetings. And every time we would talk about, you know, something new we could do for surfaces, and she and I would kind of lock eyes and say, well, you know, we should do something for women. And it never really happened. Although we would have our sidebar conversations. In all the years that I was at Shaw, towards the last couple of years that I was there, we had the Women's Innovation Network. So I knew how important and what a change maker it could be to be involved in something like that. So taking that concept of the women in our industry, I guess it was during probably the lowest, quietest, darkest point. It sounds so dreary when I say it that way, but during our lockdown of COVID, so that was what, 2020? Mm-hmm. Maybe 2020, I'm trying to remember. And Tanya called me and she said, I think it's time. And I said, time? You think it's time for what? You know, we just had a great little lighthearted conversation. And so from there, we'd started pulling together people that we thought would be helpful to move this idea from women in the floor covering industry to Wi-Fi. But from day one, our vision was something that could be beneficial to help. And Wi-Fi is not just the initials. It means we're connecting, right? So we wanted it to be something that would be for the good of the women in the industry. So we knew we wanted to become a nonprofit. And we knew that's a long drawn out process. So our founding members, we kept it as a very small, tightly knit group, mainly just for speed, efficiency, and to get things done. But here we are now, we've just had our 1 year anniversary. It was founded and announced on International Women's Day a year ago of 2021. And so now we've had some panel discussions at surfaces, thanks to one of our sponsors, the TICE, and we keep growing. Even though it's been a slow process, we're building it in a slow process. But like anything that takes a long time, like pyramids, you know, we plan to be here for hopefully in the next 100 years or longer.
Now, how many members are there currently?
I need to go back and check because it changes every day. I get notifications when people send in their membership. So if you go to womeninflooring.org, you can go ahead and apply for a membership, but our membership continues to grow daily. We're not a for-profit group. We are for the members. We are planning some amazing things. And our founding members, we have already had some major corporate sponsors that want to support us and help us with networking and education. And it's been an overwhelming show of support. But the key point of that show of support, it's not just limited to women. We're getting a lot of support just industry-wide, men and women alike.
Let's talk a little bit more about the nonprofit status. I know that was a pretty big journey. I know there's a lot to it. Tell us more about how the decision came about and what the process was like.
You know, from the very beginning, we knew we wanted to be a nonprofit. That was where, you know, our goal was, because we want to be, you know, for the benefit of the women in our industry. And we don't want to profit from the companies in our industry to get support from them. And I feel like that would be maybe too self-serving. So we want to be, you know, selfless in this endeavor. So as far as the application process for 501c3s, everyone said it's a long process. It's a complicated process. It's this, it's that. And we're like, yeah, I know. And it really is. However, we're in this for the long haul. And we're in this for the long term. So I keep, you know, I think Amy Rush Ember might have used the headline "Built to Last." And that's what we're doing. We're doing this. We're building this to last.
Now, something that I've discussed with several other women in the industry are really the last 2 years and how the pandemic has kind of played a role in shifting women's roles in the flooring industry. And it's been interesting to hear everyone's comments on that, because it's like everyone's just echoing each other. So with that in mind, you know, how important is it right now to create these women's groups?
Well, I think we do have unique needs and we do have unique circumstances, you know, like when the schools were closed, who's going to stay home with the kids? It's usually the mom, and everyone that I've collaborated with in our industry. And it's really not, I don't think it's a conscious choice, but most everyone that I collaborate with, they're women. And we're dealing with, I can see in these backgrounds of Zoom calls, they're juggling, you know, their kids doing their homework, or, you know, that the whatever's going on, it's just incumbent on, it's like, where does the buck stop? The buck stops here. And not that the men don't deal with it or the men don't help, but primarily the majority of the responsibility falls on mom. Just is.
Right. Now, how do you think the past 2 years have, you know, contributed to this shift in women's roles in the flooring industry? And it may not necessarily be a direct impact, but, you know, perhaps it's more indirect, but, you know, what have you witnessed?
I think it seems to be the timing. The timing is worldwide. You know, it seems like when something extreme happens, it puts things in like a pressure cooker. So it brings things to the surface that maybe were there, but just kind of just beneath the surface. So I feel like it's not just by accident that we have the women in stone. We have the women in the wood flooring industry. We have women in the furnishings industry. We have all these women organizations that are really coming to the forefront. But I think it boils down to sometimes your mind, your energy, your work, and your focus have to all align. And I feel like the planets have aligned and it's just the right time. And sometimes it takes a little bit of downtime to get your mind right. And so there we were with our group founding, you know, putting our bylaws together. And we were saying, you know, it just took that time to have quiet time. It took that time to not be rushing from event to event and expo to expo and racing through the airport, but actually be home, be still, and be quiet. and have that time to really think through what we needed to do, where it's not just thrown together. And I think for that reason, I think that's why Wi-Fi is going to be here for the long run. We've really thought through so much.
Now, we talked a little bit earlier about just a few of the goals, but let's kind of dive into those. What are the goals for Wi-Fi and how are those being carried out?
Our goals are unique. If you work in a big company, and I use Shaw for an example because I was there for 13 years and it's what I know really well. And I feel like it's safe to say this because I have friends that are there. We have a board member that's Brenda Knowles. So Shaw's, I'll just use Shaw as the example. Shaw does it really well. They give their associates the tools, the resources they need. The women are told, the associates are told, don't wait for permission. You know, you do what you need to do, do what you do best. But there are women that are out there by themselves. They might be a store owner. They might be with a small company where they feel like they're isolated, or they might feel like they can't speak up in their organization. So this, for us, we want to allow people an opportunity to network, to share experiences, to educate, training. Sometimes it could be as simple as just introducing yourself at a mixer at an event, just like we had at Surfaces. You know, if you're with the company, you've got 10 other colleagues from your same company that are there. But if you're with a smaller company, you're there solo and you may not know anybody. So this gives them that opportunity to have their own group to connect with and share those experiences. So we've got some big things planned, but the key part is to educate, to network, to empower, and to just to help each other be our very best.
Yeah, let's talk just a little bit about some of the discussions that took place at Surfaces. I was actually there for a few of them, and particularly the breakout sessions. And so it was interesting to see the women come together from all the different categories in the flooring industry and actually meet each other for the first time. And so some of the feedback that I gathered was there were particularly two women there who lived in the same town and had never met each other. And it took them flying all the way to Vegas before they met. And so, you know, of course they connected and all of us connected, and it was just a really great experience. What was your experience at the sessions at Surfaces?
You know, some of them were like mothers of daughters that are, I think of Deb DeGraff. She's great. She's a great example. She and I were on a panel together, and where, you know, if you're a second generation or you're about to bring on board your third generation into your business or your enterprises, you know, the communication, just communication style, understanding just different personalities across a team. You know, when we had our color, style, and design group at R&D, we had all different personality types. So one of the conversations we had was about doing DISC profiles, where you learn, you know, just that self-awareness of like, what's my personality style? And how do you recognize somebody for doing a great job? Are they comfortable with being recognized and put on the spot, or are they more comfortable being, you know, those little idiosyncrasies? I think we all enjoyed talking about that. So those are kind of just part of the resources we want to provide, is just kind of self-awareness and awareness of the people around you. Some people aren't comfortable with public speaking. So that was something else that came up, you know, empowering someone to feel like maybe we will do public speaking workshops in the future. Some people love it and some people would just rather be shy. I personally like it, but not everybody does. And, you know, some organizations, you have to be comfortable with that in order to grow and to move up through the organization chain. So there are a lot of different topics, but those are the ones that stand out to me that came up.
Now, kind of bouncing off of that, you know, what are the benefits for women, both personally and professionally, like in addition to resources and networking?
I think a woman's perspective, you know, we have
we tend to view things differently. We tend to, I'm not saying that it's ever black and white, but I think, you know, we just bring a unique perspective to the table. We know that women are the decision makers for finishes, for the home, for furnishings. And so if you're an organization, if you're a manufacturer, if you're a provider of flooring, for example, and you don't have a woman in the room, then why would you make product decisions without Mrs. Consumer there in your room? And I think that's something, you know, I think everyone should be empowered to know their power, know their strength, and what they, I think they tend to discount it. You know, if someone's talented and bright and, you know, providing great input on a day-to-day basis, they tend to discount what they do really well because it's easy for them. But what's easy for them may not be easy for somebody else. So just kind of to be in a room with somebody that can say, you're really good at that. Not everybody's really good at that. And what you know is really important and it's got value and it helps the greater good and the bottom line. And it's just kind of being with peers, being with people that empower you.
So let's talk a little bit about how people can get involved, and let's talk about everyone, all the way from the women who would like to join, women and men, anyone who's interested, all the way from manufacturers, retailers, distributors. Let's just walk down the list.
Well, if you're listening and you haven't joined, join. If you want to join as an individual, we welcome you. But we also have people that maybe work for a company that is, this fits right into under their maybe their mission statement. And so we've got some of the major companies in our industry that have pledged their support. So we have different ways to participate and different ways to join. We have even membership for people that are retired. I talk to people every day, almost, either in Kroger, at the Oakwood here in Dalton, that have, they took an early retirement and they have so much to contribute. So we want to give them a place too. So, you know, we have every level of membership. We have membership for students here at Dalton State and Northwest Georgia Technical Institute. We have installers learning the trade. We have people learning how to, you know, approach our industry with the unique talents that are required. So we have membership for every level you can imagine. And if you go to our website and you see that we don't address your unique level of membership, call me.
And just so everyone hears it again, it is womeninflooring.org.
Yes, org is the key part, womeninflooring.org.
And you can check them out on Facebook as well.
Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, we continue to grow and expand. And I just am beyond excited to get to tell this story to you today. And I can't wait to hear the rest of the podcast and interviews that you're doing of all these incredibly amazing women and men in our industry.
And just so everyone knows, we will have one each month. So tune in every month to hear about another woman in the flooring industry and the amazing things that she's doing and the amazing people who are supporting her. So thank you, Emily, for joining me. This has been fantastic.
Thank you, Beth.
And again, if you are interested in joining the Women in the Flooring Industry group, you can go to womeninflooring.org or you can email them at info@womeninflooring.org.